Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Just got back from South Florida this week in diving. Before that, I was in Lakeland for our Just Plain Radio at Sun and Fun. And by the way, I got to give a little shout out to our friends in the Bahamas. Caught up with them. They were showcasing their, the Bahamian Islands there for all the aviators. And, you know, I got to tell you, when you go to an aviation event, it's pretty remarkable how many diving folks you see. I saw a lot of dive flags at Sun and Fun. And, it attracts like 150,000, 200,000 people over a five day event. And a lot of these pilots, these private pilots that are flying in for this event, this air show, are divers, as you would expect. And that's why I kind of got into the whole aviation thing as well as diving thing. We got to get to these dive sites. And I'm obviously not the only one thinking along those lines. So it was a fun event. And obviously there's a lot of crossover in some of the diving activities that we like to do and places we like to go and what they showcase there and in the aviation community sometimes as well. So it was nice to see my Bahamian friends in particular that I usually see at the dive shows. So just kind of a fun little tidbit to share. So if you ever run into a group of aviators, chances are you could strike up a conversation with them and mention the scuba diving thing, and you guys will be sharing a few fish tales there at the Tiki Bar and have a lot in common, maybe much more than you initially think. All right, so after that, I went down to South Florida, dove with Captain Cocktail, and we've talked about the adventures of Captain Cocktail and Liquor Boy. I'm Liquor Boy. Jeff is Captain Cocktail. We've talked about those in the past. Most of those stories are not airable, but we'll leave it at that for now. But we had some time to actually do some diving. Had a great time. Dove the Copenhagen wreck. And I don't know, Jerry, have you been down to you dive that area quite a bit as well, I know. And I know Pete does. But what about you, Jerry? You come down from Virginia. Are you familiar with the sites in Pompano and that area? Or what?
Oh yes, yes. We dove the Copenhagen the last time I was down there.
Yeah,
December.
That's right. That's right. And that's where I went. We went there for the second dive. First dive, we did the nursery. Checked in with the nurse sharks that they have down there. You know, they can't they can't feed them anymore, but they have an area where the nurse sharks come in pretty regularly, and you almost have a very common occurrence of seeing the nurse sharks. And Pete, I'm going to throw this one to you because I actually got an email or a video link sent to me this week. I'm not going to say who because I don't want to get them in any potential trouble. But, you know, we have this lionfish issue. And luckily, I didn't see any lionfish on the Copenhagen on these dives, which was good not to see any of them critters. But obviously, they're telling the divers to take them out. We have a kind of moratorium for spearing lionfish pretty much 24/7. If you see one, you can take them out. But there was a video, actually, there was a video about a month ago that came out from the Cayman Islands. And they, the Department of Environmental Protection, or you know, one of those type of divisions in the government, was coming down hard on a diver who had posted a video from his trip in the Cayman Islands where he had speared a lionfish and then fed it to a grouper. Did you see that? Did that show up on Scuba Board too? You know what I'm talking about?
It may have shown up on Scuba Board. It's unbelievable, but I can't follow every post and every thread on Scuba.
Well, understandable. But the Department of Environmental Protection in the Caymans, I'm pretty certain, I think I got his title right. He came down on he came hard down on the divers and saying, hey, that is against the law. You cannot do that. You are not allowed to feed the fish in the Caymans. That is against their, you know, marine, you know, laws or whatever. So it looked to me or sounds to me that we have a conflict here with the lionfish thing, potentially, because they want us to take the lionfish out. That's okay, but you're not allowed to spear the lionfish and then feed it to another fish, which seems a little ass backwards in some sense of the word, I guess. But then I get this other video this last week from somebody who was doing this in Florida and did the same thing. He had speared a lionfish, and he took it over in front of an eel, and the eel came and ate it off his spear. And then I thought, wait a minute. We have this law in Florida that's based on nonsense, but we have a no marine life feeding law in the state waters of Florida. And I mentioned it to him. He goes, oops. And I'm like, yeah, you know, wouldn't this technically be marine life feeding? I guess it is. And I said, maybe you don't want to post that. I don't know. Well, what do you think, Pete? Is that
I would post it and never divulge where it happened.
Well, I actually, that's what I told him.
I mean, how can they look at the water? Oh, yeah. I could tell by looking at that well, you were correct. In Palm Beach. You can't do that. So it's and you're right. It's a stupid law.
Yeah. Well, it's a stupid law, but they have set up a rule for lionfish that you can spear them anytime you can.
You're supposed to take them out with you.
I guess, you know, and that's what it's weird. I mean, obviously what's going on, it's not, you're not feeding them to the eels or the groupers for your own amusement, as much fun as that may be. What a lot of people are doing or thinking they're doing is trying to help the grouper or eels associate lionfish with food. And, you know, as a food that they should eat, and kind of train them that, hey, this is a fish that you should go eat, and I'm just kind of making it available to you and that kind
Greg,
of thing. Yeah.
It doesn't follow. We're trying to attach to fish the same habits that we see in mammals. Okay.
True. Yeah.
Fish can learn a little bit, but, you know, they can't really... They're not a mammal. They don't have that higher brain function.
Well, I will say there's probably certain species of fish that can learn. You know, they definitely can learn behaviors. I don't doubt that. I mean, sharks can learn behaviors. They can be trained to a certain extent. Groupers, maybe, you know, they can learn to know that, you know, just like they could learn that a diver is very friendly and might feed them, they might be a little bit more, they might be less afraid of them. I think that can, that kind of behavior is, I think that's pretty established that can happen. But, you know, the thing about the guy in the Caymans, what he was saying, and I think maybe this might be a jump from my, you know, from my mindset, he was saying that because you would spear a lionfish and feed it to a grouper, per se, that then the lionfish is going to associate, or I mean, the grouper is going to associate the diver with the food, not the lionfish. And that's where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And then, like, the grouper is going to come up to divers, and if you don't feed me, I'm going to eat you, or I'm going to, you know, hit you.
It's
that's
stupid.
The part where I think it's a stretch. They don't necessarily. You know, just like sharks, and you've seen this before on these shark dives, you can feed sharks till you're blue in the face. They will learn to know that maybe when they hear an engine boat of divers in an area where they feed sharks or do the shark feeding, that they'll know, like, hey, there could be some free food for me. I'm going to come check it out. And they'll come in and they'll scope it out. But if you don't have food, they'll just come in and check you out and leave. They don't come in and start bumping you or
exactly.
Like taking your arm off and, you know, because you didn't bring them down a meat necklace around your neck or something. I mean, that's the part that I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, dude, you're kind of jumping.
Sharks are looking for blood and they're looking for vibrations,
yeah.
Death vibrations.
Yeah.
If those two aren't there, their little feeding switch isn't turned on. Like, that's like the giggle switch that Bill has that gets hit every now and then.
Right. Now, in those areas where they feed sharks, the sharks might come in and be a little less, hesitant.
Afraid of the human,
yeah.
Sure.
And that's fine. That's great if you're a photographer. And, and they'll still come in, but they don't come in and ram you or anything like that. And whether it's a grouper or a shark or whatever, I guess that was my point with this. He was kind of saying, like, if you feed the groupers these lionfish, then the groupers are going to expect food every time they see a diver, and they're going to come in and mess with them, or I don't know, maybe he was making the connection that they'll come in and somebody will, you know, spear them if it's a spear fisherman or something. Maybe that could be a potential issue, but I don't know. It seemed a little overprotective to me. I mean, it's like,
I agree.
You know,
people pass laws to try and push their opinion mm-hmm. on everybody. They don't have the facts. They have their opinion of what the facts should be.
Yeah.
And you know what? We should never pass laws on just opinions. Laws that have to do with taking fish should be passed on facts, not just feelings.
Well, if that was the case, we wouldn't have any laws. So, from some of the nonsense that I've seen in that regard. But, you know, it's an ongoing debate, and there's definitely two sides to every coin there. So you can talk about it till you're blue in the face. But there you go. There's some little tidbits for you, whether we have to figure out what's going on in Florida waters, let alone the Cayman Islands. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Instead of letting live sharks rain down on people,
shark!
We're going to get in that chopper
shark!
And throw bombs into the tornadoes.
Shark!
Blasting those bastards to bits.
Shark!
There are sharks flooding the streets.
Go, 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 go.
Yeah, Sharknado 3 coming out in July, and yours truly featured as a sweaty Florida tourist. Yes, that's what I played in that movie when they filmed in Orlando. Comes out in July. Can't wait. I was wearing my Sharknado 3 t-shirt in a subway down in South Florida, right? And we walk in there, and the lady behind the counter sees my shirt. She goes, "Oh, my God, I love that movie." She was obviously crazy. But she could really relate because I guess Jared from Subway was eaten in Sharknado 2, or maybe it was 1. I don't know. But she was like, "I want one of those shirts." I said, "Hey, it's a one of a kind. You know, I was in the movie, and you can look for me, Sweaty Florida Tourist, number 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I play several Florida or Sweaty Florida Tourists. So we'll see what happens. when that movie comes out. We'll have some fun. You know, but I'm not afraid of Sharknados. No one with a brain would be afraid of Sharknados. But I do want to go back and talk a little bit more about this lionfish stuff. Because, and Pete, I know you'll back me up on this, too. As much as I think that maybe the Department of Tourism representative from the Caymans might be overreacting a bit on feeding a lionfish, a speared lionfish, to a grouper and creating a potential issue, I will say that spearing lionfish, and as fun as it is spear fishing. And that has an inherent risk factor that is much higher than a typical dive or lobstering or anything else. Would you agree with me on this?
Not only would I agree, but I think that lionfish spearing is the gateway drug to real spearing. Let's go shoot a fish.
Well, okay, maybe. I'm not so sure I agree with that either, because I actually like doing the lionfish thing because I feel I'm doing something responsible for the environment. And I'm not necessarily a big spear fisher otherwise.
Yeah. I have to ask this, and hopefully Bill can tell me, are you saying this with a straight face?
What do you mean? Of course I am.
There's no way that genie is ever getting put back in the bottle, no matter how much we want to. Lionfish are here to stay. We're never getting rid of them.
Oh, no, I agree with that. However, I think divers, especially at popular dive sites, can keep them at bay. Because they have a tendency to stay in one particular area. They'll come and inhabit a coral head, and then the family of lionfish will just stay there. And if it's a popular dive site, whether it's in Florida or anywhere in the Caribbean, and the divers go there on a regular basis, they can keep them kind of knocked off the main reefs and kind of almost create a little marine protected area for the other species of fish. I've actually seen this and read some research that actually is working.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, from that standpoint.
I think that's great, too.
But you're never going to get rid of them, for sure.
We're never going to get rid of these guys. Yeah. They're here. They're part of our ecology now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the people who can't accept that everybody else has all the other fish have. I love to spearfish. I love hitting a fish and realizing I'm not the apex predator in the ocean.
What? When a bigger fish comes up and say, hey, no, you're not going to have that. I'm going to take it, or you.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I've mistakenly shot fish next to Goliath groupers and had to really put me between my fish and the Goliath grouper.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the popular place to be, and, you know, I had to get out of Dodge. Yeah. It makes you more aware of your surroundings, and I love the spearfish. Well, I'm not afraid to say it.
Well, no, and I'm not. Look, don't get me wrong. I am not talking bad about spear fishermen whatsoever. Everybody
yes,
can make.
You were?
No, I was. I just said I don't believe it's lionfish is necessarily a gateway to regular spearfishing, because if you're looking at it from, the mindset of, hey, I'm doing something to help the environment or working it from that side, and plus they're very tasty, I'm kind of knocking two birds with one stone kind of thing, and you're not so much into it otherwise, because spearfishing for me is I've done it, I do enjoy it, and like I said, I have nothing against it whatsoever, but it's just not, I don't like it nearly as much fun as lobstering and that kind of thing, and that's just me, maybe, what I'm saying?
And I'm with you on that. I like caving, can't spear in a cave. I like all sorts of diving, but my point is that people who would never spear a fish, who would never think about spear a fish, now have a spear in their hands, and they're actually shooting their dinner. And for them, that's a real wake-up call. You have to realize that this is, they can see, hey, I had fun shooting a little fish, I'll have a lot more fun shooting a bigger fish.
Well, I follow your logic, and I guess it's something to think about. But I
think it's great.
Of course you do. Yeah, but no, the thing I want to emphasize is spear fishing is an inherently risky activity that you would do as a scuba diver underwater, and you assume that risk. And just know when you spear a lionfish or anything for that matter, you are potentially asking for a confrontation,
Mr. Sharky,
with a bigger critter in the ocean, and that's when problems can occur. So as long as you're aware of that and you're prepared to deal with it and do it responsibly, you'll be fine. But just go in with your eyes wide open so you don't get yourself into trouble. I've seen it, and it's a...
I've seen it, too.
Yeah, it'll definitely raise the hair on the back of your neck when you see the critters change when you spear something, whether it's a lionfish or, you know, just spear fishing in general. It's pretty intense. Yeah,
you know,
seeing
what
how the critters react.
The biggest problems with people who want to spear fish for the first time or going out,
buoyancy control. Okay, well, yeah, of course.
If you don't have buoyancy control before you spear fish, if you don't know all of your safety things, you know, where is my second regulator? If you don't have that stuff down, then you're asking for trouble. You're asking
for
big trouble.
It's an advanced diving skill, for sure. You better have all those other, you know, those basics down at the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And the better buoyancy, the better. Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, you're task loading. So you got to have all that other stuff almost like second nature and that kind of thing. And don't rush it. Yeah, and I have plenty of experience, and that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like it's not really an activity I like to do too much because I know, man, I got to pay attention. I don't want to get into any trouble with the shark in the area. Or actually, I've seen eels and a barracuda do things that kind of made me a little bit more nervous than worrying about even a shark coming in. So that's all I'm saying. So take it for what it's worth. You do it if you like it. And, hey, man, I'll tell you what, the lionfish are tasty, though. Oh, my gosh. But I guess I'm just a born lobsterman or born lobster slayer. Maybe that's what it is. Who knows? But there you go. We got more to talk about, including a new dive site coming to Deerfield Beach in Florida next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
I just got a text from a spear fisherman that said, you're not a warm water wuss, you're just a wuss. What is that all about? Really? Is that what this has evolved into? I'm not a
wuss. So, at least one of your listeners is smart.
What do you mean?
And intuitive.
What are you saying? It was you! It was you!
Let's see your phone.
Yeah. I'm a warm water... I'm not a wuss. I can handle myself underwater. Come on.
It's a warm water wimp or a cold water barbarian.
Okay, if you say so.
WWW or CWB.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pete from Scuba Board, that's how he feels. What, Jerry, the diver guy? What do you think? Are you with me on that, or with me or Pete on this?
I'm with you 100%.
Okay, there you
go. I'm a warm water wuss too.
All right, there you go. And
50 degree water versus 72. Sounds good to me.
I'm thinking with Pete on this one, Greg. I when I go to the beach, I usually go in the 62 degree water. So I'm the only one out there, but I enjoy it.
You go in the water?
Yeah.
Like you relieve yourself? Or
well, that's what everybody does
swim
at the beach, but only a few of us are brave enough to go out in 62 degree water. The rest just lay in the sand.
Oh, okay. All right. I hear what you're saying. All right. Fair enough. Well, we got a new dive site to go to here pretty soon. There was a philanthropist, right? That's what you said.
Are you getting ahead of yourself?
Yeah. That'll make sense once I explain what this is. Margaret Bloom put up $500,000 to create a underwater dive site featuring the heads of Easter Island. Not the actual ones, but replicas.
Cool.
Of those crazy looking heads that you see in all the pictures and stuff from Easter Island. And so she contracted with an artist in Boca, and he's created these molds and created these heads as big as like 12 feet high. Crazy, crazy stuff. Great video. We'll talk about how much fun this would be or what else we would like to see it made into an artificial reef. This sparked a few other ideas that I have, and maybe some that you have too, and we'll talk about them next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with, and he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man, and he's doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man, doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
Well, I consider myself one of those guys. Yeah? Wouldn't you? Surely you would.
Take it, Scooby-Doo!
Okay. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am a scuba diver man. And you could be too. Now we have our own song. The women will come up with something. Eventually. But I like this little ditty. In a twisted way. All right, so Deerfield Beach has a new site coming. I don't know. Let's see. When do they plan on sinking this? Or have you heard there, Jerry or Pete? Oh, scheduled for sinking June 7th. That's right. That's what I didn't think it had sank yet.
I think it's going to be June 7th.
Yeah, okay. That is remarkable that he knew that just off the top of his head like
amazing.
That.
I had to use a mirror to read.
Yeah. And Deerfield Beach, so South Florida, right there in Fort Lauderdale area, is where they're doing this. And like I said, there was this lady who put up $500,000 for the project. She just thought it would be cool to have these giant heads from Easter Island made into a dive site. And so she got got an artist down there to make the molds and make the sculptures. And actually, I've seen the video of this. It's impressive. It kind of looks like one of those funky putt-putt golf things. You know what I'm saying? Because you've seen the video, right?
Underwater golf. I see it now. That
yeah,
is funny.
It does. It looks like something you'd see from International Drive in Orlando or something, and some crazy sculpture, and you'd get to swim around in it underwater. Now, obviously, those the statues they're attached. There's some more relief and stuff built into it to kind of make it look be more attractive to the fish and stuff like that. But
so there's holes in them. I didn't watch the video. I've seen a few pictures.
Yeah,
of
there's cracks and things in the rock. It's good. Like it's base. You have the heads, and then they're like glued to some kind of rock structure. Like you said, like from like a putt-putt. Cave or something. So there's some swim through areas. It looks like there he's made into this to make it more appealing for divers to swim around, and the critters and the fish and stuff might find it stuff to latch on to and turn
critters
into
are going to be loving it.
They're going to be digging it.
I saw that. They're going to be right around there. That should be some fun diving.
Actually, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those little things you'd sink in your aquarium. For your fish.
Exactly.
It looks just like that, a giant-sized version of that.
If we could get hoses in there so that it bubbles.
True.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Not really. But it still, that kind of paints the picture. But, $500,000 is what this is costing. And I guess that's fine. That seems a little on the pricey side, I would think. But I don't know. I mean, it is cool. So I'm not going to knock what they're doing at all. I think it's kind of a neat idea, and it'll be definitely unique for South Florida. I don't think they have many underwater sculpture things like that here on the east coast of Florida, like you might see, for instance, in, I don't know.
Key Largo.
Well, I was going to say
Christ of the Abyss.
Well, yeah, statues, sure, but like a sculpture park in Grenada is what I'm thinking more of. I mean, you guys are pulling up these statues. Yeah, that's fairly common, but this is more than a statue. This is like an underwater sculpture kind of thing. Like I said, they got the sculpture park in Grenada, and they got all these different type of sculptures that they've sank and kind of created quite an underwater attraction there in Grenada, and maybe this will be the start of that. What else would you want to see, though? What else could we put underwater that would be a little bit more interesting, or as interesting? You know, like the heads from Easter Island. You know, what would be kind of something you'd want to see underwater in that regard? I mean, they had a, like, I don't know, the sculpture car, sculpture park in Grenada had like a ring of school children. It's kind of creepy, actually.
How about something like the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty? All these things that we have, these wonders around the world, have little miniatures on the ocean. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Sure. I could see that.
Starting to sound like Vegas a lot, Greg.
Yeah, I guess you got to tie it into some kind of local event, you know, happening. Or, let's see, in South Florida, what are they known for? I don't know. What would you say?
A big concrete lobster.
A big now that would be cool. Yeah. Put like a giant, well, they got that, you know what, in the
like
Keys.
Like the one in the Keys.
Yeah,
that's
got
Keys has got that'd a giant lobster.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's down in Isla Mirada, I believe, isn't it? Outside one
yes,
of the gift
is.
Shops. And it's like a 12-foot high lobster, Florida spiny lobster. Take that.
It's a mile south of where I live.
Yeah, just go put it in your truck and dump it off the, you know, off the local pier there in Isla Mirada. And that would be an awesome dive site because it would freak people out, man. And that would be the best expression. Set up a little webcam underwater to get the diver's reaction when they see this thing and don't know it's supposed to be there. And, oh, man, that would be awesome. That'd be better than watching Punk with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I could just put a, you know, a lobster snare on the tail and hook it to my truck and haul it.
Yeah. Well, I think you would you definitely want to use a looper on that statue. But yeah, that kind of stuff, that would be more creative than Easter Island heads, maybe. I mean,
oh, I like Easter Island. I think that's great too.
But millions of years from now, or let's say even a couple hundred years from now, and someone comes across this, like, oh, the Easter Island statues, and they'll you know,
the Rapanui has invaded South Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And we're screwing up history doing that kind of stuff. You know, that's the only concern I have. Is how we will be remembered to our ancestors. Am I overthinking this? Maybe just a
yeah. Time? Oh yeah.
Maybe, but I like the idea of giant animals, or you know, like if you're going to do that, be more creative. Maybe we put like remnants of Godzilla underwater or something like.
Oh, see, now you know that there is Godzilla underwater in one of the caves.
Yeah. Of course, that's where he lives.
Up in Madison Blue, they have the Godzilla room. And when you go to Godzilla room, once you find Godzilla, you've got to rehide him. And then every cave diver comes into Godzilla room, now goes and looks for Godzilla and hides him.
What, this is in Jenny Springs you're talking about?
No, where? This is Madison Blue.
Madison Blue? What the heck's that? It sounds like some girl I dated in high school. What?
Yeah, no, it's another cave system. It's a cave system best done in Sidemount.
Okay, so but it's in the same general vicinity as Jenny?
No, it's way north.
Okay, so
it's closer to Tallahassee.
Okay, all right. So Madison Blue is a cave system, and in one of the rooms they have a little miniature Godzilla.
Yeah, and actually in Jenny, now that you mentioned it, they have the bat room, which has bats hanging up in it, plastic bats.
Plastic bats. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm thinking a true to size Godzilla, though. You know, and then. You know, you sink it under there. We got to incorporate like Hollywood. We got to get leftover props from a movie or something. You know what I mean? Start putting this stuff underwater. Screw having these artificial reefs and wrecks and things. You know, what do they
do? Realize,
what?
You realize most of those props are like 1/10 scale. They're
well,
not full
some
size.
Of them, but have you seen the Avengers movie? That's all real. That could happen, dude.
Oh, Greg.
Okay, whatever. Maybe some of it is. But
anybody got a peanut?
Yeah, all right. But some of it, you know, they do have some of this leftover prop stuff, and that's what I'm saying. Maybe we got to get more creative and talk to Hollywood like, hey, when you're doing one of these big blockbuster monster movies, make it so we can turn it into an artificial reef when you're done filming.
That's having just, Jaws underneath the water. Now, that would have been cool. Could you imagine swimming up the Jaws?
I could. That might not be the one I would go
pipe
for.
Pipe in the music. Ba-dump. Ba-dump.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking monsters. You got to do like, you know, crazy, you know, things that are too absurd. You don't want to do a shark.
A dragon.
That'll just freak people out. Yeah. You do.
We're going to put coffins in.
coffins under, is it okay? Well, I mean, they have artificial reef, you know, like reef. Yeah,
the coffin car. Yeah,
the coffin car. Yeah. Oh, from the Munsters. Oh, that's right. No, yeah. Well, I didn't mean. I wasn't talking about the Munsters movie. I was talking about real monsters.
So you need a creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, something, something big and scary and creepy. You know, maybe
there's a guy on scuba board who actually built the costume and dove the costume, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Wasn't it filmed in Florida?
Well, it was. It was filmed in
Weekiwatchee.
Yeah, it was filmed in the Silver Springs in Weekiwatchee. Yeah, Big John McLaughlin. He was the guy who played the creature, I believe. And he's down in South Florida where I was just hanging. He's an old friend of the show, and he was one of the guys who actually played the creature of the Black Lagoon. I know everybody. It's crazy, isn't it? Our small little family of crazy divers.
He's an actor now.
Scuba Radio. Greg the Dive Master's sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
Because I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep up above in my head. Instead of going under, instead of going under, instead of going under.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Jimmy the Bubble Boy with me, and we were at the Hard Rock Orlando last week, right before I went down to South Florida. What a way to kick off the week, too, man. That was a great time.
That was awesome.
Seeing Sammy Hagar and the Circle, which featured John Bonham on drums, Michael Anthony from Van Halen on bass, and his guitar player, Vic from, I think his name's Vic, right? From the Wabos, Sammy Solo Band. Man, that was great. They did Van Halen, Led Zeppelin. And obviously Sammy Hagar tunes, but it was, the Zeppelin music was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I had never seen anything like that live outside of seeing Zeppelin themselves. And, man, they did some really cool tunes. So if he comes to your town with the Circle, that's what Sammy's calling this band, the Circle. You got to go check it out. Next up, Weird Al. Yeah, he's coming. He's touring the mandatory tour or something. So that's a good show. You guys,
he's a Grammy winner.
I use this music to kind of motivate me to dive. Believe it or not. It, you know, Sammy kind of has that old beach vibe going on. He has a new beach rum he was promoting at the show as well. And it might be worth a sip or two at your local tiki bar after your day of diving. You've been known to be frequent those establishments, have you not, Jerry the Diver Guy? Even in Virginia, I'm guessing. Is that right? Yeah?
That's just bad for your health. I would never, ever do nothing like that.
Yeah. Never? You would rather stick to your local homebrew? Or just you were just making a joke? You're not that discerning, are you? You're not a rum snob.
Yeah. Oh, I love rum.
Yeah.
Well, rum's a weakness for me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, he has his new, Sammy Hagar has his new beach rum. And we got a new tank rum coming for, you know, for divers in a little tank bottle.
I can't wait to get my hands on that.
Yeah, that's coming out in a few months.
Sounds like we need to have a party.
It'll give us an excuse to have one.
Hey, we could do this whenever they open up this new exhibit in South Florida. We can all go down for that.
We're going to go dive the Easter egg head or Easter heads. Yeah, what are we going to call that site?
Moai,
what? What is that?
Moai. Yeah.
That's what they are, Moai.
Those statues,
that's
they
the
call
statues.
Them yeah. Moai.
So maybe we could have an Easter head hunt.
Hey!
Different colored Easter heads.
Have Captain Slates throw on his Easter bunny outfit. That would be appropriate.
The Easter head hunt. I kind of like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, but I don't know. If a more formal way would be, we're going to go dive the Moai. Or Moai. What, say it again, Jerry.
Moai.
So Moai are the name of those statues. And I don't know how many are on Easter Island. Jerry the Diver Guy probably knows this since he knew what they were named.
There's one
more than five.
More than five. Okay. They guard the island. They're set up to overlook, you know, the island and look intimidating to the people that swim up or come into their boats. I think that's what the theory is, right? They're like the guardians of the island. To protect
Guardians of the island.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll sit. I mean, it looked like the sculpture they were setting up wasn't going to be in a circle or anything. But I don't know. Who knows? We will see. They'll be scattered all over. But, yeah, it'll give us another excuse to go dive.
But you'll have to look for them.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Well, I guess.
Because we have to have an Easter head hunt. I'm just saying. I'll continue on with that.
Are we going to get Captain Slate to come up in his Easter Bunny outfit?
Yeah, well, I think that would only be appropriate. It's going to be there's going to be no room on Easter Sunday, I have no doubt. That's going to be a new Easter dive for sure. I'm sure there'll be some folks tying into that.
Hey, except no dying.
No dying? Why? Did they die there on the Moai or whatever?
Well, we don't want to die.
Well, of course we don't. We want to dive. We don't want to die. Find your Easter egg heads or whatever. I don't know. This is just a mess. Let's just move on. Next week, I'm going to talk about
something original.
Well, yeah, actually, a couple new original things from some friends of ours. You know Tech Clark, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tech, he resides down there in South Florida, actually, too, and he sent me a preview.
Did he originate tech diving?
No, he did not. But he is named that, so you can give him some credit for that anyway. But he has a new ebook we're going to talk about next week that is called the Top 10 or 10 Mistakes Divers Make and How to Prevent Them from Occurring. So, and I've actually read it. I got a little preview of it, and it's good common sense material for sure. We're going to delve into that. We're going to dive into it. Get it?
Oh, great.
Yeah, and we're going to do that next week on the big show. And if that weren't enough, our buddy Eric Douglas, another fine author, has evidently finished his latest Winthrow Key novel that incorporates a scuba radio element.
Uh-oh.
And we are going to be featured as a show and as part of the storyline in his latest Winthrow Key short story. I have not read that, but I plan to get an update from him this week and talk about it next week. I'm not sure when it's officially going to be released, but he has promised to give us first dibs on how to change it when it makes us look like idiots. Or actually, that's
you don't need any help with that, Greg.
Well, yeah,
I was getting ready to say that, Pete.
Yeah, well, thanks. You beat him to it. But no, it's I know the premise of the story, and it's so far fetched because someone takes on my identity, and who would want to be me? Anybody in this room want to be me? You want to be me?
It looks promising.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Melissa McCarthy?
No takers. Nobody wants to be me. And that's why this
I'll
is
do it.
A work
I'll,
of fiction.
I'll take one for the team.
Well, okay, Jerry the Diver Guy will do it. Well, I don't think that is how the story goes. We'll have to find out next week, but it will be worth a listen just for your own amusement, if for no other reason. All right, and that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better.
Down where it's wetter.
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody. Yeah, there. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.